Blog Talk Radio.
I see a few pockets of people that ain't acting crazy. Because I'm here live.
Candid Frank Live.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill are doing your thing. Are y'all ready to get live or what?
Candid Frank Live.
We gonna set this off right or what? It's Friday night. We'll see. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Give me the pig.
Well, there it is. The excitement begins. A few things we can talk about today. The Argos beat first place team in the West for the second time in a row, if you can imagine that. The week before last, they beat on the Saskatchewan Roughriders, who promptly turned around and continued their losing ways this week. They beat Calgary this week in the same fashion they beat Montreal, Saskatchewan, and Calgary in the final moments of a game. Just when it matters, they win. And a Candid Frank Live show and Argo lifer friend, Mike Bradwell, scores the winning touchdown. How do you like them apples? And also John Childs, Mike Bradwell, Khalif Mitchell, and Pat Watkins all made the CFL's top 10 plays of the week. Now, maybe this will be the week when John Granger will give Kolaros his props. Don't hold your breath. John can be a tough sell. And Mike, I'm talking to you from Minnesota. Now, are the Rough Riders going to continue soiling the sheets, if you will, week after week without Corey? Will Calgary nosedive as the Riders and the Alouettes have after losing to the Argos? Will my cockiness on behalf of the Argos mean the end of a great streak on the road for the Argos? Will Edmonton be the team Candid Frank Live has built them up to be? The Esks sit one game behind the Owls for the final playoff spot in the East and play the Argos next. So that should be a real, real interesting game next week. But before we get to next week, let's catch up with John and how it's going. John, how are you doing? Are you recovered from the little barbecue on the weekend?
Oh, no doubt.
There you go. Good man.
Oh, well, listen, Frank. The intro said it all. House of Pain said it for this past week for the Argos. They are the cream of the crop, and they have definitely risen to the top in the East and in the West, taking out the number one and number two teams. You can't get any better. And Kolaros, Frank, long balls again, minus 80%. Love the guy. Long balls. Trials is the one who made that catch for him. He did not make the throw. Okay, that was an unbelievable catch by Trials, that first touchdown. Okay, and the other one was short, and he had to come back to it. I think it was Inman. Again, long balls are a challenge for Kolaros, but, I mean, you know, the kid can play.
You'll keep him.
Yeah.
You'll keep him.
Yeah.
At least, you're giving him that much, he's okay to have around.
Sure. Why not?
Okay, good.
Right?
I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, I'm just glad to say that that night, we had our little barbecue, and the Argos won. We had a great time. Everybody was interested in the game 100%. It was a great game to watch. It had everyone's attention. Now I have all this leftover food and leftover beer that I'm drinking and eating.
Well, then you'll have plenty of food to bring with you on the bus to Guelph. So Frank's bringing all the treats. Is that official now?
bag of chips, and I'll tell you what, bag of chips and a case of beer.
There you go. That's good enough. That'll do for an hour and a half. That'll do for the hour and a half road trip.
Are we allowed to bring beer on the bus?
Of course you are. It's a private chartered bus, Frank. What you do with it, that's another story. Of course you're allowed to bring alcohol.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm only bringing one can of beer.
Okay.
Carolyn's laughing. You know why she's laughing?
Why?
It's a 1.5 liter can of beer.
Oh.
Otherwise known as the keg, I'll have to bring plastic cups with me.
Good. You're always thinking of others, Frank.
Hey, it's all I can do.
Oh, well,
I have
you
to
did
think
very
of
well.
Others.
Carolyn and you yourself and your family did a fantastic job hosting all of us. And it was one of those things that I think for Argo lifers is needed. You know, this long road trip, being apart from each other as a group. You know, watching a game together besides the Rogers Center was fun, you know, and that's why, Frank, you're going to be new to this, the road trips and stuff. I'm a little bit old, when it comes to the road trip stories and shit, but I got to tell you, road trips are a lot of fun. And the barbecue was like a road trip, kind of, you know, it was a good thing to have in the middle of this four-game can't-play-at-Rogers-Stadium road trip.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it wasn't really a major plan. It's just something that worked out that way, and then we started looking for an opportunity to have it, and it just seemed like a great – the time was perfect for the game. It was pretty much in the middle of the road trip, and as you say, you know, a great chance for us to get together because we can't for a whole month. And, yes, it was a road trip for everybody. And for some, it was one incredible road trip. Aaron took like 2 hours to show up, poor guy. And I have to say once again, Aaron McIntosh, thank you so much. You were very generous with your contribution to the barbecue. And I have to be honest about this. As much as we were the hosts of the location, when it came to the food and drinks, everyone made a great contribution. As a whole, it was fantastic, and it was really something that I had no regrets doing, and I'm sure my wife didn't either. And thanks to everybody who showed up.
Ditto that, Frank. Good times.
And they won, too.
Can you say 9-4? 9-4! That's right. First place, baby.
Yeah, you know, they've done what you know, you and I both were concerned about, this road trip with Ray going down. Each week it seems to be the same storyline. This week they had a quick start, and then they had a lull in the second quarter and early in the second half, and then they came out again. It's amazing, isn't it? Or they get that last kick.
This Calgary game, I am totally impressed with the defense. These guys are really fine-tuning themselves. I mean, Calgary, you know, they've been walking all over teams this year, and we were surprised with that. And no matter who they had at quarterback, the guy back leading the Stampeders was doing the job all the time. And for Toronto to now come out of Saskatchewan, you know, a game that nobody gave them a chance to win, and to pull that one off. And by the way, Riders, oh boy. To go into Calgary and to do this in Calgary, where Frank, Calgary has not lost in over 400 days, as the announcer said it on TSN. I mean, it's being a little bit dramatic about how to say that they haven't, no one's beaten Calgary in a year and a half or whatever, right? Or a year and a quarter. But, it's a good thing. I mean, that record was broken. The double blue, the city of Toronto, if you're a football fan and if you've been just kind of watching, following CFL a little bit, you know, you're missing out if you don't go down to the Rogers Centre October 4th and watch the rivalry between the Ticats and the Argos play. It's a shame. Just a shame. But I know the listeners that are listening to your show, Frank, are not the ones that we have to say this to, because they're the type of fans that follow and support the CFL. And it's great to have those people tuning into the show and having guys like you make a show where we can reach out to CFL fans.
Exactly. And it's a lot of fun doing it. And most of all, it's fun because of all the people. What do we got here? Oh, okay.
What do we got?
Rob, no, Rob wants to be on the show. Rob, give us a few minutes to take care of business, and then we'll get you. We'll add you in here, Rob. You know, the new system we have here where people can text on Facebook, and we'll remind you today, you can text me on Facebook, and you can even text John on Facebook if you want, if you don't know my Facebook, and just give him your number, and John can give me your number or whatever Margaret can, depending on who is more handy. But if you it's easy to do me on Facebook because it's just Candid Frank Live, one word.
I beg
and
your pardon,
you check,
Frank.
Hmm?
It's easy to do you on Facebook.
It's easy to do me on Facebook. It's easy to do me on Facebook.
I'm sure a
Candid
lot
Frank Live. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, go Frank. Go.
I was just looking.
It's 4-9-9-9-4. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. The number is 714-242-5250. You can also Skype in if you wish. We've had some interesting calls come in through Skype over the show's life. And, of course, you can text me on Facebook, Candid Frank Live Stanishi, and put your phone number that you want me to call. If you don't want to call L.A. and you don't want a long distance, Bill, if you want to listen to the show, you can also do that as well, which might be a better way to listen to the show, and then you can do that as well. So that's the spiel as far as how to get involved in the program. It has been a really interesting week. Of course, they for the second week in a row, they've beaten the first place team in the West. They made Saskatchewan second place with their victory. And now they go into Calgary, and now Calgary is, has lost another game. And the Argos are actually catching up to being at an even keel with the Western teams. I find that quite amazing.
You know, this whole thing in this past 3 weeks has been pretty amazing. I mean, Frank, the way I'm going to, you know, you said about if I'm going to give Caleros props, okay? The kid did spread the ball around. You know, this is what I do truly like about him. Sometimes rookies, what they like to do is they like to go with a favorite that they kind of find in practice, or the guy that they can get along with, and he stick with them. And, you know, I've seen that happen before, right? The kid threw it around to everybody. I mean, Jury, Inman, Childs, Bradwell all got a touchdown. You know, this is not one-directional kind of quarterback where he's going to pick out just one favorite guy that he thinks that can catch his balls, pardon the pun. And I truly think that this game right here, more than the BC game, was one of those games that makes a player like Calero stand out. You know, the BC game was a shocker when they won it at home. They surprised BC. There was not a lot of tape, you know, full game tape on him, except for preseason a little bit, you know, and a couple of spurts in the regular season. But to have him come out in Calgary, you know, they could have gone into Calgary feeling good about themselves winning in Regina, you know, and that's a lot of the...
And satisfied.
And satisfied. Yeah, absolutely. But you know who I'm going to give a lot of credit to here? And this is where it's coming up, and I'm noticing the importance of Scott and the rest of the coaches right now.
Hell yeah.
They're the ones. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're the ones that, you know, a lot of people who are just outside observers and watch the game don't understand to make these guys focus like this and go into a game and come out with this kind of a performance. That's coaching, plain and simple. Plus A on the coaching this past week. I mean, you know, they've been doing it the whole year, Frank, but just super, super job. I love the coaches now, even more than I did before. They pulled it off.
Yes, yes, absolutely. They've done a marvelous job, the coaches have. Scott Milanovic has been a fantastic – I'm going to say this, and this might sound silly for a football coach, but he is a gentleman and a scholar and an accountable person. When he makes a mistake, he just says he made a mistake and leaves it at that and moves on. And that's something that one has to be respected. And I'm sure the players respect him for that. You know, I've done it. I've done the interviews with him where he's admitted that he didn't know that he could have that Kackert fumble. He could have challenged, and he said he didn't know that he could do that. And this week I talked to him again, and we discussed the fact that he believes in being honest because it's what he expects of his players. So, you know, this is a guy who's straightforward and upright, and you know, it's fantastic that there are people like this in the world, and one of them's a coach, and it's no surprise that his players will go through a wall for him.
Well, yes, you said it perfectly, and we can all see now why he got the Coach of the Year. last year. Okay. You know, had a big, had quite a bit of a turnover in staff this past season, and to come out in a challenging road trip that they were starting off in Montreal with, that was right now it comes down to the coaching. To take him out of Calgary and put him in the frame of mind, I mean out of Saskatchewan and put him in this frame of mind to beat Calgary and hang in there and just pull it out, that's just great coaching. And, of course, the players, you know, let's not forget. But the coaching never gets recognized too often. We blame the coaches when, for example, he doesn't remember or know the rules perhaps on a challenge or something like that. Then they kind of stick out. Okay, but when it comes to taking them out of a game that they came out of Regina and to bring him into a, you know, football country, Calgary, it's good stuff, Frank. Love these Argos.
Absolutely. For sure. For sure. For sure. You know, it's this Facebook thing's starting to work pretty good here. There's people actually trying to figure out how to hook on with the show, and I'm pleased about that. And I got Donna Hodel, who's a Saskatchewan fan. She wants to listen to the show. Donna, if you worked it out, I'm glad you did. And anybody else that knows Donna, it's very simple. We post the link, and then all you have to do is click the link, and you'll be on the show. Now, you have to, I guess, John, it's been so long since I've been a listener, you have to fast forward to the live part of the show, right? Because if you just let it go from where you start, if the show's already started, you sort of start behind everything, right?
No, you just click on to the link that you send out, and it'll kick into the live show.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, so no worries. As long as you got the link out there, all they have to do is just hit your link, and it'll take you to the show. Give it a few seconds until it kind of refreshes itself so you're caught up live.
Now, the other thing is,
Ken and Frank Live.
Yeah, yes. And if it's the next day, it's still the link still works. You just end up listening to the program on archive.
That's
so
right.
It never stops working.
That's right. We'll talk about the Riders in a bit and the so-called downfall that's happening. But I just want to say that this Edmonton game, Frank, is going to be one of those things where coaching is going to be really kind of highlighted here again. As we spoke about earlier in the day when we spoke, you and I, this afternoon, we talked about the fact that the entire team is staying out west for the Edmonton game this week coming up. And I haven't heard this in a while where they kind of stay over, but I could see the logistics of doing that. They did come back after Regina, so... You know,
I wanted to go to the practice and do some interviews for tonight.
I get you. Well, you know what? I found out that somebody else is joining him out west. Chad Owens is going to be joining the team in Edmonton, so that's good news. I'm sure they're not going to fly him out there just to watch the game. So I he's playing, I suppose. It's not official
well,
yet.
Well, you know, when you consider the lack of, maybe that's an unfair statement to make. When you consider how less than totally effective the punt return and kick return has been during this little streak of theirs, it's amazing that they're actually still winning. Because,
yeah,
you know, they're really not, you know, their defense is incredible. The offense, you know, I'm not going to use the word sputters, but it does have its good moments and it's not so good. And you know, specialty teams, defensively, the guys are doing great, but unfortunately, I haven't found the guy that can make any. Well, there are a couple of good returns, I have to admit, but not on a consistent basis as we've become accustomed to with Chad Owens.
Well, the only one that I remember seeing any touches was Guy, or Gee, or
Guy,
however you want to call him.
Guy.
I think that night, I don't remember anybody else getting any balls on punt returns, as far as I recall. On kick returns, I think... Tony or whatever his name is, I can't remember. Tony, something. Tone is what I call him. I think he had one touch, and Guy was the one who was handling the ball most of the time. Trent Guy.
He did come from Montreal, but he is American.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't do too shabby. He averaged about 21 yards a game. So I mean, for the runs, for the two kick returns, and on the punts, he had four punt returns for about 40 yards, averaging about 10 yards. So, Not that bad, but, you know, when Chad's in the game, he stands out, and we notice when he gets. I'm pretty sure, I don't recall Chad getting an average of 10 yards. He gets at least 15 on a night, if not more, right?
Well, you know, he is Chad Owens.
Of course he is. And you know what? Who stood out for me again? I missed the guy more than ever. Nothing against Pre, but Swazi Waters. Woo! Love seeing that guy kick. I mean, he's got a boot. The punts, I love it, Frank. He was just kicking it in there. I mean, 53 yards averaging that game. In six punts, that's 322 yards. That's not bad. The longest one he had was an 80-yard punt. I mean, we talk about defense. Well, the defense can only do so much unless, you know, the ball is deep. And they start off deep, and it helped out. So,
well, the
Mr.
kicking
Waters,
game is clearly, yep. Kicking game clearly an important factor.
And it shows. You know, it really, really shows. So we'll see what happens with this week coming up in Edmonton. It's going to be, I think, to me, I mean, I thought Saskatchewan was going to be tough. Montreal turned out to be tougher than I expected. I thought we would do well. I didn't think we were going to sputter like that in the first half and then come back and take it. And then to do that in Saskatchewan and out in Calgary, you know, like you said, Frank, it's one of those things where we're kind of setting ourselves maybe perhaps for a downfall here going into Edmonton because they are spending the whole week out there. Now, that could be a good bonding thing, but I think about this time of the year, these fellas are pretty much bonded.
Well, you know what? Let's be clear about one very important thing. The Argos have won 3 of 4 games they're playing on the road. The hunger for winning, I'm not suggesting anything other than to simply say this. As well as they're doing, a little bit of the hunger, you're not as hungry when you need the wins as much as you are when you really need them, you know?
True.
And right now, they're in a position now where they need the next win, not as much as they've needed the last three. And I think on balance, Edmonton needs it way more than the Argos do. But,
yes.
But, one thing we've learned about the Argonauts, and again, this is me getting cocky as an Argo fan, they seem to play better when there's more chips on the table.
You're leading in the right direction. I was going to say that they love it when they're the underdog. I think the coach gave them a little pep rally talk in before the game, and, you know, he reminded them that they're, again, the underdog in this game. So let's go prove them wrong. You know what I mean? And this is not, I don't think they're going to be going into Edmonton as the underdog. I'm surprised if they'll be going in. I can't see that happening at first place against the last place in the West team. So there's the other side of it. You know what I mean? There's the other side of it. They're going into this game as a favorite now. So that that motivational little kick that kind of got them going where they were supposed to be going in Regina and in Calgary is not there, you know? So, yeah, those are all kind of factors that might come into play here. And, you know, Edmonton is hungry, and they're getting better. As you said before, Frank, probably the best last-place team with their record. I mean, you know, I think they should we talk about this switchover, right? I mean, right now you mentioned also that Montreal, Edmonton is on their footsteps, what, 4 points behind?
Two?
What? Okay. I haven't looked at standings in a while. All I care about is seeing us in first. You know? Sorry.
I get that, John.
Sorry.
I like that. No, you know, hang on. We got the schedule here. Wait, hang on. You got to go to the CFL to get the standings. I believe the last time I looked, they were in fact what the heck?
What? Who are you trying to look up?
No. It's my bad here. I'll get it. The standings. I believe the Argo. Well, I was going to say I knew exactly. Here we go. All right. We got. This is 2012. I want 2013. Thank you very much. Okay. There we go. Okay. So we've got Calgary's now at 9-3. Calgary's at 9-3. BC's at 8-4. Saskatchewan's at 8-4. So are the Argos, 8-4. And yeah, see, Montreal's at 4-8.
No,
and
yeah,
Edmonton's
I think
3-9.
You're looking at 12 games played. Yeah, we're 13. Or are we counting the bye week there?
Yeah, yeah. That's the problem. That's the confusing part. Is that silly bye week? We're if I go into the schedule now.
Was I screaming eight? I think I was screaming 9-4. Right? Are we?
Yeah,
eight
I don't
four?
Think they're 9-4. I think we're only 8-4.
Well, that's great. You see?
No, no, no.
That's my my prediction. We're gonna be 9-4.
There we go. I can confirm that we're in week 13, but only 12 games have been played. The way I'm saying I'm right, the only way I know for sure is that Calgary lost their last game, which is in the standings. They lost their last game. And last week, the previous week, they played Hamilton and beat them. So that means they're up to date. So they're up to date. Yes, I can most assuredly suggest that you've got three teams tied at 8-4.
Yeah.
And that would be BC, Saskatchewan, and Toronto. Calgary's at 9-3, and Edmonton's at the opposite 3-9, and Montreal's at 4-8, and Winnipeg's two and ten. Yeah, 2-10. They beat.
Well, I was getting ahead of myself there with the 9-4, and you know.
Well, let's hope you're right. Let's hope you're right.
Yeah, yeah. That's too funny. I was thinking we're 9-4. You know, I was getting a comment. Holy smokes, we already won as many games as we won last year, guys, and. Well, you know what, Frank?
Well, they have
we are
already.
Going to be 9-4.
They have already.
Okay.
They
you know,
have
I've,
already.
You can play this show next week. Hey, you can play this show next week and start it off
apparently,
where I'm screaming, 9-4!
apparently, no stranger Granger is not the only cocky person on this show tonight.
Who else
so,
is there?
You, me. I was referring to myself. I'm being cocky here, you know, with how well the Argos have played. They really have been... they have been playing really well. And you know, the question that popped into my head is the question I have, will Milanovic be the coach of the Argos when they get their new stadium? Will he be here for 4 years, let's say? This being his second
no
year.
Doubt.
You,
no
you think
doubt.
He'll be
Sorry.
Here that long?
Yeah, Frank. I mean, you know, I just
what
mentioned
if,
to
what
you
if,
right now.
Look, what if that guy look. What if that guy with the Bears, the Bears, does a good job? Don't you think that's going to make the attraction of hiring Milanovic even more in the NFL?
Oh, well, you know, I thought you meant the question was, will the Argos keep him that long kind of thing? Will he
if
make
they,
it,
oh, they'll keep him if they can. I'm convinced.
But if they can't, you know, will he get offers down there? I, you know, Frank.
Like how long do you think it'll take before his reputation rises to the point where the NFL, an NFL team takes notice?
Okay, well, Tressman had a few years doing.
How many
what
years
he's
was
doing.
He in Montreal? He was in like 5 years, something like that, wasn't he?
Well, I think it was six. I think it was 2006 when he joined them, I believe. I can't remember. Serge or Alouette, Argo fan, would know that for sure. But you know, he played for a few years as a coach up here. Played, I should coach for a few years up here before. This is only Scott's second year, so let's slow that roll a little bit down. Before we go that far. But I get your point. I mean, I could see where, you know, people are going to want a guy who can kind of, like I said, coach any player, even with turnover and staff and, you know, that kind of quality and a people person or coach, you know, the coach's players person. He's a quarterback, former quarterback too. So that kind of, I think I always liked quarterback coaches, Frank, you know, they kind of get a better hand of they can get into the quarterback's head easier. And you can see how, you know, I wouldn't doubt it a little bit if, you know, Scott has a lot to do with what's going on with Caleros right now. You know, he knows how to talk to him, he knows how to treat him, you know, how to handle a rookie like this. And he's doing a fantastic job with it. Proof is in the play.
Yeah, he began as head coach of the Montreal Alouettes in 2008 and was through 2012. So that'd be 5 years. He was. I think he was with them as an assistant coach, probably the quarterback's coach, in 2007. I think, if I remember correctly, he was given a promotion.
Right, right. I know he didn't start off there as a coach. Right.
Right.
Okay.
So he worked
well,
his way.
Know.
He worked his way up to that. The point. I guess all I'm trying to say is not to, you know, just for the sake of making. Interesting conversation, and you know, the more effective that you know Scott Milanovic is, the more attractive he's going to be to the NFL, because quite frankly, you know, it's like when Warren Moon went down there as a quarterback, and all of a sudden they discovered that black guys can be quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he changed that. Well, Warren Moon changed that.
Well, so what do you think? Scott is going to prove that white guys can be quarterbacks?
No.
Or coaches?
Trestman's doing that. Trestman, you know, Trestman may establish, you know, his success will breed more interest in Scott Milanovich.
I'm just teasing. I get what you're saying.
Especially because they're cut from the same cloth. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're both, like you said, they're both ex-quarterbacks, quarterback coaches. You know, they're guys that understand, you know, tactics and,
right.
You know. The NFL is a tactic. It's a boring tactic league, you know. Unfortunately, but you know, that's what it is. They're heavy into tactics, and you know, Milanovic is starting to develop a reputation for being a great tactician. As much as I, and even more, Mike from Minnesota, brag on Kolaros. Let's not forget, a lot of the credit goes to the quarterback coach / you know, head coach of the Argonauts. Milanovic does set the table for him.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, you know, it's easy to coach a fellow like Kolaros when this guy can just squirm out of that pocket. I mean, he's dodging players. He did get caught up with two fumbles, you know, doing that, jumping around a little bit. But, you know, the kid has an eye for seeing the players. Unfortunately, he can't reach the ones downfield. But
again, already. Enough
I'm
already.
Sorry. Look, until I see
Enough
it where
already.
The player doesn't have to go back to the ball, until I see
hey,
that
listen.
Happening, and also,
listen,
Frank,
Chuck.
Sorry, until I see the players don't have to reach, like, unbelievably reach for the ball, and I get it. That's what the receiver's supposed to do. But, you know, I haven't seen too many right-in-the-chest throws, you know, more than 20, 30 yards like Ray does it. Okay, Ray.
Yeah,
will...
you're right. When it comes to the chest, you know, Kolaros isn't quite as good as Sofia Vergara. I mean,
good one.
You know, she does more for the chest than Kolaros does.
We're talking about an actress from Modern Family. If you guys are not aware, that's what Frank's referring to.
You see her in the dress she wore at the Emmys? Mamma mia!
Ba 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 boom! Ba 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 boom!
Yes, ba ba boom. This is a break for. Oh, she's one hot lady, and she definitely is Latino. Anyway, yeah, no, I was trying to mind my own business here, talking to you, and all of a sudden her picture flashed on my webpage. So yeah, exactly. Talk about Twitter.
Back to football.
Yeah. Yes. Back to football. Yeah, so he, you know, he does do a lot of good things, and we're lucky to have Kolaros. You know, we're even lucky to have, you know, our number three quarterback, Harris. Trevor's another good quarterback, and I can see why now. Imagine, you know, how much better Trevor had to play to beat out Kolaros. So Kolaros
no
could
kidding,
be,
eh? Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And Trevor Harris is a. In my opinion, it was not my opinion. In my belief, when the season started, I would have put him at number two.
I still love Harris. I mean, we were all impressed with him last year. You know, the time that he got, and like you said, there must have been something that caught Scott's eye that Kolaros did better, and I was a little bit surprised and shocked, and I'm thinking, are they maybe holding off on Harris because that's the player they really want to keep as a quarterback, you know, after the draft comes out? And by the way, I'm sure Rob in Ottawa is going to be happy because, I mean, what Kolaros is doing now is probably what he's going to be doing for the Red Blacks next year. So, you know, that's something to look forward to for Red Blacks fans.
You don't think that Kolaros will want to stay in Toronto close to Milanovic?
I don't think it's his choice.
If I were him, I would. No,
well, it's not his choice, Frank. It's not his choice.
What do you mean?
No. When the GM of Ottawa says, pluck him out, I want him. He gets them.
But John, right? he's a free agent after this year. He gets to sign with whomever he wants. In fact, he could even sign with Ottawa, and Ottawa doesn't even have to use a pick.
True enough.
Right?
Yeah, but
so,
I think the draft, I don't know how that works yet, Frank. I'm not visualizing that far down the road yet.
I can tell you as far as Kolaros is concerned, that's how it'll work, because Kolaros does not have a contract for next year. He will be a free agent. He can talk to anyone. Imagine that. He can talk to anyone. In the CFL, they don't have, if somebody signs him because he's on their list, do the Argos get a pick? I don't know. That part I'm not sure about. You know what I mean?
Well, like I said,
I know what you're saying, but I think,
far.
Well, regardless, the kid has fit in well as the backup to Ricky Ray. When Ricky Ray comes back, nobody's really going to be worried about him getting injured.
Not me, anyway. You know, let's pray and hope that doesn't happen. I think this is.
Well,
the
we don't
way
want it. We agree. We don't want it to happen. We don't want it to happen.
And Frank,
are we worried?
I'm seeing a formula for the Ricky Ray Argo life season. Start him off at the beginning, keep him off the field for a few games, and play him at the end.
He's like a cleanup guy, you know. Save. No, he's in there to win to get the save.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna be a little bit disappointed if Ricky's first game back and we lose it. If Kolaros, this will be one of those things where, when do you bring him back? I mean, you know, I don't think we're gonna see him October 4th. Not now, anyway. Okay.
They're gonna see Ricky when he's 100% healthy, and then they'll wait.
I'm not. You know, it's going to be up to Scott. Where do you want to fit him in? What game? I mean, after this Edmonton game, we got the October 4th game against the Ticats on the Friday night. We're hoping for a nice turnout in Toronto for that one, and then we head off to Guelph for the Thanksgiving game, and then we literally
are going to Guelph.
Yes. Well,
the
we
party
are
bus
going
will
to
be
Guelph.
On its way. The party bus will
right.
be on its way to Guelph.
Right, and some of us are literally going to be hopefully going to Winnipeg on the 19th. That's the fall, and then you're back in Toronto again. I think on the 24th.
Who's going to Winnipeg?
It's up in the air still. We're trying to get front row seats for Winnipeg behind the Argo bench. Margaret and I, so we're working on it. We got some Argo office people helping us out. It's all taken. I mean, you know, the season ticket holders there, evidently are going to be the ones taking up all those seats. But it would be nice to catch a game in its first year in a beautiful stadium. And what better time to go than when the Argos are playing, of course. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, my point here is, Frank, is when do you throw him in? Do you want him to come back in an outdoor environment, or do you want him to come back in an indoor environment? What's better for his muscles, his shoulder, his rehab, you know, that's the strategy here. And what's the rush now? You know, there's nobody knocking on our heels yet, if I'm going to use that word loosely, yet, if at all. Hamilton is going to have a challenge coming up this week, and then they come and face us. So back-to-back, and, you know, we'll see how this plays out, but I'm feeling pretty good about it. And in a way, Frank, you know, I don't like to run away with it, because we want to give the Ticats fans some hope. You know, they have to look up to us. And
Sam,
it's unfortunate.
You could be such an a-hole. You know that, eh?
Mm-hmm. A is an Argo. Yes, I can be definitely an Argo hole. That's right. And in your face if I'm wrong about it. Because I think we're in first. And, Frank, please, if they were in first, they would not be as generous and kind the way
they'd be the same kind of same definition.
My terminology, Frank, does not compare to the hostile shit that comes out of their mouth when they're in first place. Okay?
Well, I'm going to get to experience it firsthand in Guelph.
No, you're going to experience it you're going to experience it first class, first time experiencing Guelph, because you're not going in there as the last place team in the East like we used to do all the time, okay? You're going in there, you head up high, You got me? So it's going to be a little bit different for you. But I get it. So, again,
John,
going back to
the break. Let's take a short break. I get you. I feel you. Let's take a short break.
Okay, but you're going to answer my question, Frank. When we come back from the break, we can answer the question, when do you think Ray should come back?
Okay, I'll do that. And when we come back, we'll be back with also Robbie and Mike from Minnesota. Hey, Argo lifers, Argo fans, the Toronto Argonauts fan cruise is on the horizon. 7-night Eastern Caribbean cruise, February 1st through 8th. Argo fans, do you want to live it up? The ultimate cruise party on the high seas may be just what you need. Join reigning CFL Coach of the Year Scott Milanovic, the Grey Cup winning quarterback Ricky Ray, and members of the 2013 Argos cheerleaders on a 7-night voyage to some of the most exotic destinations in the Caribbean. Join the fun as we kick off the Argos Fan Cruise Week in Miami, Florida, with an action-packed tailgate party, including your newest friends. The party continues on board the Celebrity Reflection with exclusive events throughout the week that will have everyone talking. There is no better way than to spend the week by soaking up the sun, enjoying fine cuisine, hitting up the gym or spa, or simply partying the night away. Get ready to put your game face on and join the fun. For more information on pricing or to book, please call 416-929-1980, 416-929-1980, or toll-free 1-877-510-2751. That's 1-877-510-2751. Book early, because this is one huddle you can be a part of with the Toronto Argonauts.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be official. Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Go, go, go. Woo!
Be official. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You have any more popcorn?
Hello.
Hello.
Here they are. Plus one. And I would be the plus one. No, I'm one of the three stooges, but now we have a fourth stooge. His name is Rob. We have a new stooge joining the three stooges, and we'll call him a guest stooge. Rob, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Mike, good, Rob. Nice to hear
you. Welcome the program.
Hey guys, I'm a stooge now. Oh,
there you go. You graduated. All right, some of the things we were talking about tonight, if you guys want to add to the Argos beat Calgary this week after beating Saskatchewan last week. Both teams were in first place. The Argos have done well this week. Maybe this will be the week. John seems to be softening his stance, Mike, on Kolaros. He's starting to give him a little more props, a little more credit, which is really good. And the real question is, are the Rough Riders going to continue soiling the sheets week after week without Corey? Mike, you're up.
Okay.
Mike.
Oh, no, Rob, go ahead.
Go for it, bro.
Okay, so I guess the question is, does anyone dispute that the Argos are now the number one team in the CFL? Like, overall from a power ranking?
I do.
You think they'll be number one in the power ranking?
Yeah, I mean, I know TSN has Calgary still number one, but to me, for them to go on the road, win three straight and back-to-back against, the Riders and Stamps with a backup quarterback, I don't think there's any other team in the league that could have pulled that off. So you got to give it to them. They got to be the best team in the league right now.
They're definitely the hottest team right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, John, you think so too?
No, I agree with everything, as long as it's positive. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, you know what? Because of, like Mike said, because of they're the best road team right now in the CFL. And to go into Regina and with the follow-up, if it wasn't this road stretch of games that they're on. Maybe not so. I still personally wouldn't have put them in number one, but because of the fact that how, because they don't have Ricky Ray in there, right? And I don't think they're going to get that respect as number one until they have their number one in there. The ranking system has a hard time putting in backup, and if he's, you know, running the team, if there's a hope that the starter will come back eventually. I've noticed that in the past few years when they started these things.
So the ranking says it's not for real. It's an illusion.
Yes and no. I mean, you know, Frank, I still believe that they're not going to put them number one. I don't. I don't believe they're going to. I still think they're going to put
Calgary.
I
agree with Mike. I agree with Mike that based on the definition that he laid out, the Argos are number one in the power rankings for this week. But I think I think TSN and what a lot of people do will read more into what's going on rather than just take it a bald-faced facts. You know, the fact is, John, I think you're right, Mike. I agree with you. I think John agrees with you too. And how about you, Rob?
About Kolaris?
No, about the Argos. Are they the hot? Are they the number one team? Should they be the number one team in the power rankings? As you know, TSN states from time to time.
Yeah, yeah. No. They, you know, this Kolaris guy is a very good quarterback as a rookie. But I'm kind of tipping towards taking Kolaris instead of Ricky Ray, because Ricky Ray's old. He's been in the CFL. You got Zach Kolaris, who's a new guy, coming in. He's looking good. He's winning games. And I think the Argos are going to take Kolaris and let go of Ricky Ray.
Ooh, listen to that.
Yep, that's how I'm feeling it. You know?
I
just pray and hope the Red Blacks don't say, okay, well, we're going to take Ricky Ray.
Oh, they're going to take Ricky Ray in a heartbeat, Rob.
Oh.
In a heartbeat. I mean, I kid you not, they'll take him and they'll pay him double if he wants. Because maybe you guys won't like it as much, but I truly believe, look, you can't buy knowledge. Like
no.
What this guy, he's got the experience, he's got the nerves of I mean, the guy goes in calm as you could be into a great cup game and just tears them apart. He throws an interception in his first throw, and he doesn't come out shaking or, you know, ruffled, and he's in a hometown.
Yeah.
The Red Blacks, the GM, will jump on him. And that's why I don't think. Yeah, I don't think, first of all, I don't think Barker will let him go.
No
way. You know, just out of due respect for the guy.
No,
not only that, John.
It's just a thought I was thinking, you know?
Rob,
that's
you're
what
right.
We're about.
No, Rob, you're right. You're right. If Ricky Ray was, you know, allowed to go to Ottawa would get him. Let's not just forget about what John said. John's 100% right. This guy's got a lot of mental understanding of the game, and he's a great guy to have around for young quarterbacks. And
but,
he's a great ticket seller if he goes to Ottawa.
Yes, I believe that. But
I can't see Ottawa fans not drooling at the opportunity to go cheer for Ricky Ray, who's won the Grey Cup with two different teams, and now he's at his third team.
But see, now he got injured, so wouldn't he be considered like injury prone?
Wow!
You know what, Rob?
You know, he might be down again.
Well,
like
I think he's prone to resting in the middle of the season myself.
Yeah. I think that's what, you know what, they got the highest paid player that they don't want to jeopardize. He's their marquee player, he's their poster boy, and if they have that little flexibility where they can give him some extra time off like they did last year, and they didn't panic, because there was a game, I believe, last year that I thought they should have played him. I can't remember which one it was. It was just the one before he came back, and he was healthy to go, but they thought, you know what, one more week. Or no, I think it was the Hamilton game, the last game of the season. You know, he was ready to go, but they didn't play him. They played Kolaris, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to keep this guy on the shelf and keep him healthy. As long as the team is doing well, they're not going to rush him back. And as far as being injury-prone, Rob, you know, the injury that he had on his shoulder, he's never had something like that before.
No.
And it's one of those awkward things. The injury that he got last year, his own player rolling on his ankle, that's another one of those. He gets hit a lot. I mean, the guy, as much as we like to say that our offensive line does a great job, he gets hit quite a bit. And on the hit that he got, it was just one of those unfortunate things. A lot of quarterbacks don't have their arms up in the air when they go down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're always tucked in. So injury prone, I can't label him with that yet. Now, if he does it in a season where he gets hurt twice, then you might kind of look at that.
If he comes back, like, say, before the end of this season is over, if he comes back, I'm not sure when he's scheduled to come back, but if he comes back and gets hurt again,
your point is going to be sticking out like a sore thumb to me. I'll remember you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ricky Ray is a great quarterback. Let's move on to the next subject. Mike, what did you want to bring up? You never call without an idea in mind. What were you thinking when you called?
I was just about to report about the whole stadium situation. And TSN was saying on their website that the Argos are looking at three different locations in the suburbs, particularly, they said, on the west end of the city. And they said they're currently negotiating a deal with some of the local politicians in those areas. So I don't know if you guys had any inside information on what's going on. Or
the west end of the city. Now, how far west are they talking? Do you know, John? What that option is?
As far as outside the city realm, look, guys, all I'm going to say about that before I get into it, because I think it's just a waste of breath, it's like a chess game. It's one move, and then the opposition does the other. Opposition's meaning the money, okay, meaning the politicians. And this is like they have to play this game with MLSC. You can't let MLSC think that they're the only one out there that the Argos have an option to. Then the Argos are, again, their hands are tied because they have to go to MLSC's needs, okay, if they don't want to buy the team. Yes, they're going to look at every avenue possible. And sure, I think Braley, I think the objective here is to make this move, if they're going to move out of the Rogers Center, to make this move and do it right, meaning that explore all options and do every possible.
Okay, John, specifically, do you know, Mike, which locations they're referring to? Obviously, BMO Field is one of them. What are the other two?
Nobody
Mike?
Does, Frank. Mike doesn't Mike, know because nobody knows.
No. Well, he just said, I'm looking here at TSN. I'm looking at TSN, and I wanted to see if I could help out in an out-of-towner understanding the dynamic here involved and what areas they're referring to. Because when somebody says the west end of Toronto, that means Etobicoke and could very well mean Mississauga at the end of the subway line where those four tubes came down.
Yeah, so there was that article on TSN, and then if you go down and scroll down to their podcast section, there's an interview with Chris Rudge on Dave Naylor's show, and he went into more detail, and he talked about the timeline. But they have 6 months. They're expecting within 6 months to make an announcement on either way, whether it's going to BMO Field or getting a new stadium. And obviously the larger time plan is by 2017 to be completely out of Rogers Center and be moving in. So that's basically all the details they were given on that. As far as, you know, beyond that, like, Naylor didn't name any specific locations. He just said three suburban locations, and he just said the West End. So that's
you
all
guys,
the details
now,
they gave out.
The
Frank,
West End.
Let me just fill
the
in.
West End.
Let me just fill in. Frank, don't even ask about which location West End, because, like I said, you're not going to find out. It's very hush-hush. Even internally in the office, it's mums on this thing. Because you don't want any sort of roadblock to come up with somebody objecting to something that maybe is coming.
I'm sure nothing we have to say will ruin that, because who's going to believe us anyway? So we're just, this is all conjecture and we're all speculating. And so I'm just trying to help Mike to understand. He asked a question and I'm trying to help him to understand.
And I'm going to answer the question for Mike. I'm going to answer the question for Mike just the same way I answered it last week, guys. This is MLSC needing a time frame to get their engineers, their consultants, to see what they can do as far as reconstructing the BMO Field into a slidable turf, meaning that they can move the turf
We get that, John.
That's the whole point. You're not going to get an answer out of anybody until
We're not trying to get an answer. Let's just help Mike. Mike's asking a question, and I'm trying to help him understand, regardless of whether it's important or not. By West End, Mike, do you know what Toronto looks like in general?
No, I don't.
Okay, so let me try this on for size for you. You're aware that the biggest thing that the Argos want and the league wants is they want a location that is easy access with transit. Okay, you can understand that, right?
Yep.
Okay, Toronto has a subway line, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the furthest west it goes, is to Etobicoke, which is right beside Mississauga and where I live, okay?
Yeah.
Along the lake. And it goes all the way across the end of Scarborough, you know, which is, you know, you go through Etobicoke, Toronto, and then on the other side is Scarborough. Now, in the middle, the central location would be BMO Field. That would be along a street called Dufferin Street, which is just slightly west, right? Slightly west of Yonge Street, which is the basically the main drag of Toronto. Everything is east or west of that, right?
Right.
So, you know, so what you're talking about, I was hoping to hear, when they say west, they could mean BMO Field or they could mean as far as Etobicoke, where there is some land available and there is some access, as you may figure out on your own. If it's connected on the subway, that's good transit, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's it would be there somewhere. Now, you said there were three locations. One was west,
uh-huh.
And the other one was BMO. Is that what the article said?
No, the article actually didn't refer to anything about BMO Field at all. It just
three locations.
It says three locations, and they said that Rayleigh is currently negotiating with politicians from each of those three areas to see what type of deal they could work out as far as helping them finance the stadium.
So that implies
it's on TSN's website. I don't know if you guys read it or not.
I'm on TSN's website. I can't see any.
I read all the stories. Like I said, it's just general information that as we've talked about before. And they're not going to get specific in the next 3-4 months, at least, until MLSC gives them an answer. And guys, it's going to MLSC, okay? It's going with BMO. If BMO and MLSC is so interested to throw out at least 100 and change to get consultants and engineers and architects to look into this, they're not doing it to throw the money out. They're doing it, first of all, for the TFC fans, which are getting a roof, okay? That's a given. Now, if you're going to put a roof in and do all this construction and you want to fill the dates in, and it is going to be real grass, okay, because if you read the articles from MLSC regarding the stadium situation, they said that without a doubt that they're going to be doing something for their fans to put a roof on. So if they're doing all that construction and designing a roof, they're going to put the effort in to make it attractive for the Argos as much as possible, and they're going to do it right. And I tell you guys, there is no other better location than moving it to BMO Field. Nowhere. There is no other community outside of Toronto that would be attractive to get a fan base to go that far out of the city to attend games. Not a chance, not with this fickle fan base that we have that needs to have TTC straight to the stadium. End of story.
So, John, like, if they were able to build, like, a nice facility in, let's say, whatever suburb you want to name, that wouldn't be a better option than moving into BMO Field? Like, honestly?
Well, now, that's why Frank talked to you about the geography of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, and I'm pretty knowledgeable when it comes to the geography of Toronto and the stadiums that we have and the possible sites that have been talked about before. All the other possible sites that have been talked about before are out of the question. And those sites are the ones that we're talking about in the district of the, you know, outside of Toronto vicinity. And those things have already been talked about, put aside. I think Rudge has to go listen to every municipality, and just because that's proper way of doing business. You know, you have to reach out. And he's not going to say, hey, guys, we only have MLSC and that's all we're focusing on. Heck no. No. If they had real concrete interest in really doing it, something where, you know, it was more serious than MLSC is offering, then they would have brought the names up. Okay? They're not going to do that because there's not really that much serious going on, in my mind. I'm not speaking on behalf of the Argos.
All right, so we've established we're beating a dead horse now, John. The same story every week. So
well,
it's definitely going to be.
So
No. I know. But I'm just saying, it just gets boring after a while. We're hearing the same thing over and over again.
No, what you're hearing, Frank, what you're hearing is over and over. I'm trying to tell you, it's MLSC, BMO Field.
Exactly.
I'll be saying it right now, guys.
Thank goodness we have a two-hour show.
Put it on the record, dude. I'm being forward. Hey, put it on the record. I'm putting on the record right now. Frank, whatever you hope you want to put out there for fans.
I'm not trying to, Frank, hear me out.
Hold on. No, Frank, listen.
John.
I'm not trying to give fans or viewers or listeners a false impression.
We agree, John. I said a long time ago that BMO Field and the Leafs were going to buy long before anybody was saying it. We've been talking about it, about going to BMO Field, only because it only makes sense. The short version of this is, Mike, there's an investment involved in building a stadium. If you have two tenants, it's better than having two tenants pay for one stadium. When everyone knows that the soccer team here in Toronto needs to improve the stadium, whether individual fans are happy with grass or blah, 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 they've identified that the stadium needs to be made a little bit bigger. And why not have two groups share the investment? I mean, doesn't that make sense to you?
So you guys wouldn't view that as a downgrade?
Of course it's a downgrade. Of course it's a downgrade.
Hold on. Downgrade from what? From shitty sight lines at the Rogers Center? Because it looks better on TV to have a bigger stadium with full stands? No, that's not a downgrade.
That's not what I meant. Think about the facility itself. Like, you go
from a relatively state-of-the-art
with a retractable roof that is climate-controlled, you know, with an actual artificial turf to pretty much an outdoor field with a partial roof on a grass field in a city that's notorious for raining. And then imagine if people have trouble coming out now and under a dome, what are they going to do when it's winter and it's snowing out? People aren't going to show up.
Yeah, no, Mike, I got to tell you, like I said, a lot of people have been turned off from going to the football games because the seats suck, okay? Bottom line, I got turned off for a whole year where I didn't even bother using my season tickets, just about. I went to one or two games because I got sick of the sight lines and they were increasing the prices for shitty seats, okay? Moving out of that Rogers Center and putting them into an atmosphere which is closer and more just comfortable, it's going to bring the fans out. Just because it's going to be a new thing, it'll bring them out, and then when they catch on to the bug of watching a live football game and having fun at it, it'll just snowball. Where is this
BMO Field?
It's right where the old
exhibition stadium.
You know where the exhibition is, Rob? Yeah, the exhibition stadium.
They're playing soccer in the same area that you're playing football with the Red Blacks. You have your stadium there. That's the same thing. Yours isn't the Canadian National Exhibition. Yours is the Central Ontario Exhibition or something? I think it's the Central.
When I lived there,
that's what it was. And basically, it was just the Ottawa version of the Toronto Exhibition.
Yeah,
and Lansdowne Park was just basically the Exhibition Stadium. They looked identical. They looked identical. One giant set of stands. And then later they added a couple of little ones, right?
Yeah.
And that's all. They're just the same. To answer your question, if I can take a kick at that can, Mike, it is a downgrade, but it isn't the downgrade that I thought you were referring to. You're referring to a downgrade from where they are now to where they're going. I'm referring to a downgrade from what the Argos should be playing at to what they'll end up playing at. That's my – like, I prefer and believe a Winnipeg-style stadium is better for the Argos than a shared facility with soccer. That's my opinion on the downgrade. That's what I mean by downgrade. I mean they're gonna have to make concessions, you know. And John, the problem with concessions is usually it means sight lines. That's all I thought he meant.
Not to mention, even there they could still have issues with getting good dates. I mean, the MLS season runs basically from late spring until
all the way
to October.
Mike, listen.
Right?
But
first
they only
all,
play once
I,
a week, Mike. They
Frank,
only play once a week.
Frank, just let me fill in. The president of MLSC has come out in public and said that it is going to be a grass turf. And they are not going to be playing on the same weekends. They're going to be playing on opposite weekends, every other weekend. So it's manageable. They've already looked at the scheduling, how it can work. And the only sweetest part of this whole thing is that we're arguing over which weekend, not which weekday. We're arguing over which weekend the TFC is going to play and the Argos would play. So that's not a bad argument to have. The fact that you're fighting over a weekend. It, with the Blue Jays, there wasn't even an argument with about the weekend. You don't get any.
Well, you don't get a day during the week.
Yeah, but like over the years, as time goes on, like let's say 10 years down the road, the Argos are going to be so far behind the eight ball, just even from trying to get players and having facilities. I mean, you look at Ottawa's going to have a brand new stadium with good facilities.
Hamilton's
having a brand new stadium with new facilities.
Of course.
Look over at Winnipeg, the Riders is coming down the pipe.
Mike,
BC's already got it. Edmonton's got top. So it's like they're going to be like a stepchild again.
Mike, players have never signed in the CFL because they like the stadium. They like they sign because they're playing them and allowing them to play, where in the NFL they didn't allow them to play anymore. So they're more grateful. These are blue-collar players here.
We're talking about when it comes to free agency and a guy is like a good player.
We're talking about Iowa Wind Stadium where you don't have air conditioning and the
right.
Rest
that's
so
why
rough.
The Ticats were terrible. Look at their record. They were horrible. No one wanted to go there. No one wanted to go to Winnipeg because their facilities were garbage. Now it's going to change. Look how people's perception, guys, when a guy gets offered the same contract offer from multiple teams, other factors are going to weigh in. Like, you know, is it a winning team?
Yeah.
Do they have good facilities?
Mike, you're right.
What's their fan base? All these things count. Like, imagine,
I agree with you,
look
Mike.
At it right
yep.
now because now the Argos are good. I'm talking about down the road when all of a sudden Ricky Ray hangs it up and now you guys have to go out there and find new players and you can't compete in free agency with these other teams because the other teams have a lot more to sell to players. If they can match the offer. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you're right, Mike,
thing.
You're right. No, Mike, you're right, because the validity of what you're saying has been borne out by the Maple Leafs with their new facility that I helped build. And the MasterCard Center is an attractive little thing that they can throw at players and say, look, this is where you train. Check this place out. Until then, they had nothing, and it is a selling point. But in the CFL, you have to grant John the point that in the CFL, it's a very transient league. You know, players go looking for jobs more than they do for where they're going to play. I think there is a lot of truth in what John said there.
Mike doesn't realize something. Mike, for the last 10, 15 years, the Argos have been practicing in a high school facility atmosphere, and the players are still signed here.
Yeah,
it's more about where they practice rather than when they play, because the Argos, the Rogers Center, are an away team. They can't practice there. They come into warming up at the Rogers Center just like the away teams do. We don't get one practice during the week at the Rogers Center to get a feel out of it.
And they practice on grass.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So as far as a downgrade, I don't know where the downgrade is. I'm not sure.
No,
if anything
John,
else,
I
they're going to get a new practice
explain,
facility. They're going to have state-of-the-art equipment that they're going to practice with. Right now, they're not getting it. So we're not downgrading nothing. If anything else, everything is an upgrade from here on, okay?
Yeah,
everything.
But John,
they're talking about building a new team facility?
Oh, yeah. They're gonna
okay.
Pay.
If that's the case, then that changes it.
Guys,
I just thought they were going to still be in Mississauga
with the
trailers and the high school place.
So, Mike, remember, how many weeks now have I been telling you that MLSE is probably going to buy the team and they're going to end up being a BMO? The other reason is because of what you said. MLSE owns, like I said, the Master. Not they own, they have a lease at the MasterCard Center. The same thing's going to happen at BMO Field. They're going to build team practice facilities. In fact, I think TFC already has $1 million practice facility there.
Frank. You're missing something out, Frank.
Go ahead.
The MLSC and the Argos already have had walkthroughs through the TFC facilities. This was prior to the announcement that they made a week and a half ago regarding the sale, possible sale and sharing the stadium and so forth. Prior to that, the management of the Argos went through the TFC practice facilities and to see how they can, combine them or what modifications have to be done if the Argos do join MLSC. So that is there. That's why all the cards on the table are showing that MLSC is the direction going. The fact that they're looking at their practice facilities, the fact that they're looking at investing into the architecture and redesign, it's more than any other surrounding municipality has done. Okay? So, again, that's another big thing. So a downgrade, don't see them. I know maybe in your eyes because, like I said, if once I let you know how crappy of a situation that we're in right now, everything is an upgrade.
John, but that wasn't – I don't think that was what the question was. The question was, is it a downgrade from going the Winnipeg-style stadium, I think is what Mike was asking. And as far as the Winnipeg stadium is concerned, they have great practice facilities at Winnipeg Stadium, which Mike didn't know until we mentioned it now at BMO Field. So I think Mike understands better and hope I understand better and the listeners understand better that going to BMO Field is not that bad a deal. The only downgrade is that they'd have to stay in partnership with somebody. You've established very simply and very credibly that we're talking about a league that plays once a week and another league that plays once a week, figuring out which weekend they get. And they got to be on the road one week and at home the other. So it's all quite, there is a downgrade, but it's a very minimal one. You raise up the reasons why it isn't a downgrade. Right, Mike? You understand more clearly now the situation?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Sorry for causing some strife.
No. There's absolutely no strife.
That's how we get the shit out. Let's talk about it.
It's all a process.
Okay.
It's an educational process. That's what the show's for, too, right, Frank?
Oh, did you guys happen to see the photos of the new Ryder Stadium I posted on the Bolt logo page?
Oh, very nice. Thanks for those shots. I saw them all. Yeah. That's the architectural design that.
Yeah, the renderings. Yeah.
Doesn't
it look like a small scale version of Dallas Stadium in a way?
It does.
It's just so beautiful.
It does. And you know what, Mike? That wasn't the original design. I think they went through like three or four. They wanted a roof. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted a dome so badly. And can you believe it, guys? Talk about a province that has this major sport, or the only one team that kind of get the entire province gets recognized for, and they didn't want to fund it. They didn't want to give them the retractable. I don't know what the politicians and what the politics are.
I can answer that one. That's because the initial design with the retractable roof was requiring about $450 million.
Really?
And they were just like, they were like, that's way too expensive. So this new stadium, it's going to be $270 million. And if you looked at the roof design, it's got like that web pattern.
Uh-huh.
It's actually made in a way that they can actually add a small retractable part in the middle down the road. So it's a really small design.
Where are these pictures? Where are these pictures I want to see?
It's on the logo page. Go to the Toronto Argonauts logo page.
I'm there.
It'd be nice if you check some of the stuff out besides posting the show only. Bam-bam! Oh! Got you, Frank. Got
you. Oh, yeah. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
What was that, John? 8-4? Okay.
Yeah, 8-4.
9-4. I was just gonna be sitting here listening to you guys, and I was just going to be like, 8-4!
Toronto Argonauts need a new stadium. No, that's Exhibition Stadium.
No. He posted it there, Frank. He had all the stadiums there. He had three or four, I believe he did, right, Mike?
Yeah, so it's like three photos of the Riders and then one of the one link to the Ticats. They have that virtual
on the
venue
logo
thing.
Page.
Yeah.
On the boat logo page.
Yes, go
don't
to your
see Diddley.
Yeah.
Don't see
on the
Diddley.
Toronto Argonauts boat logo page, Frank. Yep. Just
I'm there.
Check out the
I'm there.
Yeah, you should look for like a tab on the right that says like posts, like recent posts or something, like a list of names.
Yeah, that's where you're looking. That's where you post the show.
I see Manasti. Manasti
Gabriel. Yeah, you know that one.
Yeah, you know what happened, Mike? It's because he posted so many posts of his show on there that yours got all backed up far down.
I don't see Mike's there at all. Mike posted on my page. I see Kevin Kingsley.
Yeah, click the Manasti one. Ahead,
yeah, that's
that
Manasti.
One.
That's him.
Oh, that's you?
Yes, that's him. That's Mr.
Well,
Mike Minnesota.
That.
Well, you see, Frank, that's why you got me here telling you this stuff. Mike the hardcore.
The new era of the CFL is coming?
Yep.
Yeah, that's
Maritime.
The Hamilton one. You should keep going down, then you'll see the other one, the Ryder ones.
Well, if anybody else out there listening wants to know what we're talking about, go to the Toronto Argonauts Bolt logo page on Facebook and look at recent posts, and you'll see Minnesota Mike's posting of the stadiums that the CFL is constructing and are about to come out in Ottawa, Hamilton, Winnipeg, and in Saskatchewan. And, you know, it's a shame that we're not saying Toronto yet. So we'll see what happens. But, again, I think if these guys are going to do BMO, I think they're going to do it in a way where we're going to look at it and say, wow. And let me tell you, Mike, you know what they do in Arizona where they slide the whole field out?
Yeah.
Okay. that's the kind of concept, you know, with in regards to stretching out the stadium they're looking at.
Okay.
But
and then as far as, like, putting, like, an artificial turf for the Riders? Like, slide
well,
out
no,
the grass?
No, it's going to be real. There is no, from what I heard from the president of MLSC, there is no other option except for making it real. So they're going to make it into the point where he said that it could be done. They do it in six other MLSC stadiums where they share the grass and the you know the pitch and the playing surface for baseball or football, whichever it is.
You mean the MLS? You mean the MLS, John? You
yeah,
mean the
MLS. Sorry. Yeah, yeah, sorry.
It's okay. It's
MLS.
Easy to make that mistake.
Yeah, the MLS. Sorry, the Major League Soccer.
Right.
So they're using it in six stadiums right now in these kind of conditions where they're sharing the surfaces, and they seem to be working out okay. Now, remember, that's the president saying it seems to be working out okay. I'm pretty sure the players in some of those places are saying, no, there's pivots and there's pitches that,
right.
you know, there's divots and stuff. But it's one of those things that, you know, if you have good groundskeeping and you know, with the way these turfs are made now, natural turfs with all these chemicals and these grasses are so tough. It could be done. I mean, our weather conditions in Toronto are not what they used to be 20 years ago where, you know, we got freezing conditions by September. I mean, you know, we're still in the
20s. Thanks to global warming, right?
Yeah, it's the global warming. You're damn right, Mike. It's
right.
It's happening. So,
it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, well,
the funny thing is, like, do you guys listen to Dave Naylor's show at all, the TSN Drive? On the radio.
Yeah, the insider Dave Naylor.
Yeah, because like what he said is, like they would basically roll an artificial turf on top of the grass for the Argos, and then you know just for them, and then use the grass pitch for the
soccer.
TFC. Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's even an option or he was just blowing smoke. I don't know. If that's...
You know, it's like you know they're gonna try. I think. I don't know if that's – maybe. It's like laying down a carpet.
Right.
Possibly. I could see that as, you know, that could make sense. That could make sense. I mean, that's – again, they're only going that far to think about things like this is because they want to make the TFC fans happy. I mean, nothing's going to be – you know, they don't want to piss these guys off. Even the – I mean, the team is really crap. They haven't been in the playoffs ever since their existence, so – they can't piss the season base off that they have. But I got to tell you something, guys. It does freaking rain there every time the TFC play. And that's
right.
The only reason why this guy, yeah. I mean, it's rain
guys,
there.
Do you guys watch MLS soccer at all?
I do.
Yep.
I do. I
follow
yeah, like, all Toronto
teams. They have no roster. What like Montreal has way more talent than them, and they just joined the MLS like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, TFC doesn't look like
there's
they're going to be
reason,
competitive for like, the next 5 years.
No, it can turn around real quick in MLS. It, just bear in mind that the TFC, the biggest problem they've had is that they haven't used the opportunities for helping to increasing their roster's talent to the degree they should. You know, they haven't really used you know the well that's there for really fine import players like the other teams have.
They're only like you guys saying like the whole designated player thing for the MLS.
The import
right? like,
thing, yeah.
Yeah, so for them, I think the only guy they have is Robert Earnshaw, right? That's like the only DP they have.
And he's a disappointment.
Right. I mean, he was good
Excuse
early
me.
On. He was pretty good
first. Football, wrong football.
Oh.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, but no,
oh,
okay.
How about the fact that the Argos are one win away from clinching a playoff spot?
Nice.
When's the
Wait
last
up.
Time you can say that the Argos won to clinch a playoff spot with five
Nine
games?
And four. Nice, Rob. 8-4.
Yes, he said one win away, clinching a playoff spot. 8-4. Gonna be 9-4.
Like I said, we can play this show's beginning next week.
Listen, you know what? The Argos have done a masterful job. They brought on a good coach. They have a general manager who has divested some of the responsibility of being a general manager with their defensive coordinator. Yeah, well, you know, he's the assistant
Isn't he
GM.
Also
no,
yeah. no,
that's
no, Braley's
the
owner. That's
the
owner.
It's Barker's
the owner.
The GM.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
Barker.
Okay.
Barker, you know, it's the weirdest arrangement. We've talked about it before, that the defensive coordinator is the assistant GM, and the
yeah.
head coach is a head coach. You know, Barker has done in clear genius, he's given enough authority and probably enough pay to both those guys that they're both happy, and they're both happy to be part of a winner. I asked John earlier, Mike. I'd like you to pipe in on this. You know that Tressman went to the Bears, right? So now he's the coach of the Bears. And the
that
more
is
successful,
the shit right there.
More successful the Bears are. Does that make it more attractive for Milanovic with each year that he has success for an NFL franchise to maybe hire him?
Yeah,
no.
For Milanovic it wouldn't be. The reason for Tressman was because he had an extensive career in the NFL, and he had worked under a lot of great coaches, and he had a lot of great players like Jerry Rice vouching for him, and that's a totally unique situation. Milanovic has little to no NFL connections outside of Tressman, so it's not the same. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the same situation. The only
so
guy
you don't,
in the CFL
you don't,
right
you don't,
now would
you don't
be.
Think that- You don't
Corey
think
Chamberlain
success?
Is the only guy in the CFL right now that have that chance, just because he has a really tight relationship with Mike Tomlin. Other than that,
okay.
There's no one else. Yeah.
So you don't think the fact that he's successful in the CFL transcends or gives a hint of how successful he could be in the NFL?
Yeah, just because he hasn't had any NFL experience as far as like coaching, like Tressman had
gotcha.
Lots of years as an offensive coordinator. That's why. Yeah.
Okay, so we're safe. So we've got Milanovic until he goes to another CFL team.
Oh yeah,
he
I mean,
goes
of course,
to another
yeah.
CFL team though. Here's another little question: who do you guys think will be the head coach for the Red Blacks next season?
Ooh, I think Marcus Brady or Orlando Steinauer. That's my two top candidates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John.
I got nobody.
Nobody.
I got nobody.
Who was the coach at Montreal beginning of this year?
Dan Hawkins.
Hawkins, yeah. I wouldn't want him here in Ottawa.
No way.
I'd want him in Ottawa.
He's a piece of shit.
I'd want him in Ottawa.
No. You know who I'd want here in Ottawa?
Who?
Marcel Bellefeuille.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Not
you
bad.
Know, he was out in Hamilton, tried
mm-hmm.
his best, couldn't make it. Now he's in Winnipeg as the offensive coordinator and assistant head coach or whatever, and
he
playing,
was going
like,
to go. He was pretty much fired, and he decided to stay. And they said, "Yeah, you can stay." I think that's a good one because I bet you he's going to buy in time until next year.
Didn't he go to Omaha or something?
Yeah, he went to the Omaha Nighthawks
yeah.
of the UFL.
Yeah. Yeah,
Rob, here, I'm going to throw something out there. You're not supposed to hear this yet, but I'm not even going to mention a name, and you guys can take your guesses. He was a former coach of Edmonton. He was offered the job in Montreal.
Danny Machocha.
I didn't say it. So,
nah. Yeah, he could be one.
I heard somebody whisper that in my ear. It's possible that he's been talked to about this already.
Wasn't he also talked to about the GM job? Wasn't he one of the guys that was...
Yeah.
Yep.
He was also one of the guys who was a possible GM.
Yep. And
but
I really think
Marcus Brady is going to be the top candidate because you think about their GM, Marcel, and I can never say his last name for the life of me.
Yeah,
Dardines or what? Yeah, but because of his experience... In Montreal.
We know who you mean.
He's actually a great guy, Desjardins Marcel.
Yeah.
There, he was the GM when I was working out in Hamilton as the assistant equipment manager in 2006, and I'm glad he's the GM here in Ottawa. It's great. It's you know.
Like would it like? I think he'd want to carry over that Mark Tressman offensive system that. Has been so successful in Toronto, and I think he understands that if with the right quarterback and you pair him with that offensive scheme, it's going to be a success. So I would think from his standpoint, he's probably looking at Marcus Brady as just another tree, like a branch of that tree that he could just bring over and he could still carry that system. And then if he could find the right QB, it could be, about it. He could get Caleros, pair him up with his offensive coordinator, and there you go. You just bring the same system over, quarterback's already worked with the coach, it's a perfect match.
I was just sitting here and I'm thinking about the quarterbacks. Like you have Thomas DeMarco played very well.
Don't even mention that guy's name.
Started 5-5. Boom. It was awesome.
I cannot believe that guy did what he did. I don't even want to talk
about
that.
I loved watching it. It was just
Why, what's the matter, Mike?
Points in that game?
Are you
what's
kidding
the matter,
me?
Mike?
How the heck did the Riders let some guy who was like 5'6", the guy looked like a kicker, and he's out there throwing passes right and left. I was so angry. I was like, just knock him out already. I mean, come on, man. How is that even possible?
You know,
and
you
John,
know,
he can throw the ball long, too, eh?
Yeah, he was great.
Oh, yeah.
I was totally surprised.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Saskatchewan game. We'll take a short break.
God.
We'll talk about the Saskatchewan game, and we'll watch Mike squirm for a little while.
Oh, great!
Okay. All right.
Travis
Lule.
Oh God,
he's awesome.
Yeah, I love this guy.
He's real.
You know you like him. Loves the outdoors.
He's out there, all out, every game.
You gotta like that.
Look at him.
Always looking to land the big catch.
He's after it.
Articulate.
He's a winner.
Champion. He's got a great cup.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, you gotta love this guy.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards in the morning, TSN 1050. Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on, be brave. Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack. So to connect with us and tell us your thoughts, hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
One, two, three.
We're the Argo cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. One, two, three.
We're the Argo cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. Yay! Go Frank! Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Go Frank! There you go, Frank. There you go.
Thank you.
Okay, so I watched the game between Saskatchewan and BC, and I don't know. Mike, let's go to you first, because the team I saw was such a disorganized mess. They looked like, I don't even know how to describe what they looked like. I mean, fumbles from the center to the quarterback, running on the wrong side of the quarterback. It looked push league, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the whole running back thing, that was just because Chris Garrett had just showed up and obviously didn't know the whole playbook. But the rest of the offense, I don't know what to say. They, you know, George Cortez has been hailed as, you know, one of the top offensive minds in the CFL. But to me this year, outside of Corey Sheets running, I think Cortez's offense has been kind of a disappointment. Because when you watch the games, you just feel like, at some point, he's got to be more aggressive, and let's just take the leash off of Durant and let him throw the ball down the field more. You know, it's like he seems to, like, try to hold it back and play conservative and do the whole dink and dunk thing way too much. And it affected even the crowd, because I was listening to part of the game on the radio, and Rod kept saying, like, the crowd's not that loud, people aren't into it. And they had over 40,000 people, and it was like there was hardly any crowd noise at times. So I don't know what's going on. I told you 2 weeks ago, I just feel like now this
Mike,
season's not going to be good, and they're not going to end up in the Grey Cup, and we're going to have a rematch of last year. It's going to be Calgary-Toronto. Toronto's going to win, and then we can get on to next season.
I get that, Mike. I'm not sold on that 100%, but one thing I'm seeing, and if anyone knows the history of Cortez, he was the coach in Hamilton. Hamilton
and he was
the coach
here in Ottawa, too.
But in Ottawa, okay. But the experience in Hamilton almost seems to be duplicated, being replicated by the offense of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, where he has most of the control. A little adversity, and all of a sudden, Hamilton it exploded, it blew up, and it seems the same thing's going on with the offense for Saskatchewan. A little bit of adversity, and they're really blowing up. I don't know whether this guy's a panicker when things don't go well, but that seems to be the common thread between his experience this year in Saskatchewan and his experience in Hamilton as the head coach.
He seems like a panicker the way he starts chewing all over that marker as soon as things get tense. Like, you ever see that? He's like got it in
his
mouth, up
about.
His nose. It's like he's making love to the thing. It's crazy.
That's what I'm talking about. He doesn't handle adversity well. At least his teams appear to not handle adversity under his leadership well. I mean, Hamilton, they literally had a revolt against him early in the season when things started to go off the you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Man. I'm just wondering.
You know, some guys, they're just not cut out to be head coaches. Like, you look at Milanovic. I don't know if you guys ever, check out the videos of him post-games, like when he talks to the team. Mm-hmm. Whenever he speaks to the team, he always has every man standing up looking at him, fully focused. He's got their attention. They respond whatever he says. But when you see other coaches like Tim Burke or George Cortez last year, nothing. No response. No one pays attention. Guys are doing their own thing, and it's just some guys, they're just better off being coordinators. And if you don't have that commanding presence in a room like a Ken Austin or a Milanovic or a Corey Chamberlain, you just can't be a head coach.
It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's a lot of personalities that you have to toe the line with.
Right.
And it's a lot of roadblocks or road mines or whatever in the way of a guy being successful as a head coach. It's not as easy as knowing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Saskatchewan, yeah, Saskatchewan's on the skids right now. I think officially we could say they're sliding down the hill. How long do you think this is going to go on, Mike? Is this going to go on? They can recover and still win a Grey Cup. They can recover and still win a
Grey
Cup.
I mean, the great thing is, Calgary lost, so they're still only one game back of Calgary for first, and they play each other in about 2 or 3 weeks. So by then, Corey Sheets is back, and once he's back, you never know. Like you said, Frank, they could turn it around and get back on fire again and take over that number one spot.
It's how you finish in the CFL. The middle of the season, that's why Ray takes a vacation. He takes a little time off. He shows up at the game, gives some of his mental experience, to the team, and he does well enough. Then when the crunch time comes, he'll be fine and he'll get in there. And this year, even if he gets hurt at the end, we're not going to be that worried because I think Argo fans are very happy with the job Kolaris has done.
Yeah, Trevor Harris in the back that people have sort of overlooked, but I think he's another good talented quarterback.
I agree. And if you were listening to the program earlier, John and I were both surprised that Kolaris jumped ahead of Harris. And both agreed that if he did, there had to be something really good about him.
Right. So, Frank, I don't know if you talked about it earlier. What about the Edmonton-Winnipeg, the debacle at Investors Group Field? What do you think?
Oh, my God. Like, what is it about Midwestern Canadian teams right now?
I know. Seriously.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm being serious, too. Like, what is it, the Plains of Abraham? What the heck's going on here? I mean, Winnipeg had that game well in hand. And as much as we can sit here and say, Winnipeg, you suck, they really did get a bad break with the volleyball pass off the defender to the receiver. I mean, give me a break.
Did you see the reaction? Yeah, you saw Burke's face when that happened. The whole sideline looked like they had a heart attack. It was so crazy.
I could just, in his head, you could see a little bubble come above his head saying, are you kidding? Really?
Oh, man.
Really?
You know, the thing with Winnipeg that I always find funny, whenever you watch their games, like when they have a big play on offense, it always looks like it's on accident. And, like, they look shocked. You ever notice that? Like that touchdown earlier from Max Hall to Terrence Edwards, like, he throws it. He basically threw an alley-oop pass. He just lobbed it in there. Edwards gets it, and they're all looking at each other like, whoa, I can't believe we scored. It's like,
yeah.
That's when you know a team is terrible, when good things seem like it shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what Winnipeg's going to do. If you noticed the first quarter scoreboard watching by the Winnipeg bench, everybody looked like a tennis match. You're all looking at that second touchdown going, oh, my God, we're ahead by that much?
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I feel sorry for those Winnipeg fans, guys. I felt for them on that one. They're in our division and everything, but for them to lose like that and to have to suffer through a season. Last year I felt bad for them, you know, having to be on the road and their stadium never got built on time and all that crap. And to start off in a new stadium and not have a win until, what, week 199? You know, I'm just exaggerating, but yeah. It seemed like it was forever. And to come out with a loss like that, it's just awful. It's the worst feeling a fan could ever have, and especially a fan who is just, you know, on the edge of their seat waiting for another win. And to think that they thought they had a win in that game,
John, did you forget what I told you last week? I felt
what?
So. If you guys might remember, Mike, that I felt sorry for Winnipeg that they had to go and meet Edmonton following a victory. Remember, I told you guys that Edmonton is a team that's on the up, and poor Edmonton has had a lot of bad luck, and now Winnipeg's feeling that same bad luck. Edmonton is starting to. I think they're starting to get their head above water. I think the biggest battle that the Argos will have on the road trip will be in Edmonton this coming week, and I believe Winnipeg will bounce back. But I'm not sure that Burke will survive. I mean, the next if they don't win the next game, I figure Burke is gone because they might as well start the rebuild now rather than wait to the beginning of next year.
Yeah. And what's even worse is, like, had they won, they would have been one game out of the playoffs.
There you go.
Mike, you
were laughing at me last week when I was referring to the fact that Edmonton could still make the playoffs.
Yeah, because you said you were talking about Edmonton catching BC. That's a miracle.
I'd like to see him to make the playoffs.
Edmonton could still cross over, couldn't they?
Well, that's what I was referring to last week. I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought you meant that they were catching BC.
No.
I meant Montreal
and Hamilton. That because Montreal and Hamilton, I believe, you know, because they play each other so much, there could be an issue. But, you know, the season in the CFL can change so quickly. It's what makes the league so great. You don't have that many teams to overcome like you do in other leagues.
Yeah.
Which is part of what we talked about last week, right? That's what makes the league so interesting. You know, your fortunes can turn on a dime,
and,
good and bad.
So John and Frank and Rob, so are you guys supportive of the idea of switching to one division and just having the top six teams go to the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that you know, because, well, like next season you're going to have Ottawa coming into the East, so it's going to be Toronto, Montreal, Hamilton, Ottawa.
Right.
In the West, you're going to have Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatchewan, BC, Winnipeg. That's 5-on-4. That's
not going to happen. Never. It's
good,
tradition.
Good. I mean,
you're not going to go against breaking the East-West.
Okay, so John, you're against it, right?
Totally, and I'll fight
it.
I'm going to write emails. I'll write petitions. It's a stupid idea. We're not going to soccer style, one division,
That's good.
In the Premier League. Fuck that idea. Sorry, Frank. I had to say because I feel strong about it.
John,
I hear you.
John,
if you guys have noticed, like, even on TSN, everybody's pushing it. Like, all over,
wow.
Like, everyone's like, and I'm thinking that's going to destroy.
Okay,
can I give you my opinion on it?
Okay.
All right.
Further to John's point, the Grey Cup is historically and has always been, even though it's had a couple of screw-ups with American teams, the whole point is, what I'm trying to say is this, is that it is the culmination of a football season in the Canadian Football League, and the culmination of that is the big event, which is the Grey Cup. And it pits the Western Division team against the Eastern Division team. That's historically what it's been, and that's what I think that's what makes it the Canadian game that it is. Now, in fairness, I agree with having one division because I just don't like this imbalanced team situation. So my belief is they're going to rectify the problem in a few years. They're going to give if you heard Cohen was on TSN on one of the half times that I watched the games. I don't remember which game, but he was on halftime, and he was saying that yes, we're talking about it, and he made it very clear that there's another team coming, and he didn't mention Quebec. He was talking about the Maritimes, And the one thing that he said clearly, whoever gets the team, whether it's Halifax or Moncton, it has to be a Maritime team, not a Halifax team that the Haligonians can be proud of, and not a Moncton team that the fellow New Brunswickers can feel good about. It has to be a Maritime team. And that is the direction you're going. And he said that next year we've got Ottawa coming in. Let's settle with Ottawa. Let's let things settle with Ottawa. Once we get that going, then it'll be great time. Now we can move on, because he has a five-year plan that he has given the board of directors of the Canadian Football League. Part of his five-year plan is moving into five teams on each east and west. That's what his intention is.
And if I could just add, this is just to all the people who are making this debate about Moncton versus Halifax, and then I read this on TSN's thing, people need to stop saying Moncton has a stadium, okay? Stop saying Moncton has a stadium.
They
in
don't.
Halifax. That thing is not even considered a real stadium.
They don't.
I mean, that's just got to be put out there. Right, exactly.
The
both cities don't have anything. They're both on equal ground right now.
To quote the commissioner said, and I quote, if the team goes to Moncton, there's a massive renovation that needs to be done. If the team goes to Halifax, team goes to Halifax, they need a stadium.
All right. Let me give you my two cents on that, Frank. Moncton was originally designated as the area to go to because of the money that was there. The investors, believe it or not, the rich folk who care about bringing any sort of sports team out east, live in Moncton area, in that vicinity. So that municipality was the only one who had the cash to even have talks with in regards to a future possible stadium. Halifax is probably where it's going to end up going. Halifax didn't want anything to do with it initially because they figured that, you know, the interest probably wasn't... Huh?
The mayor is interested.
Frank, let me just fill in. The mayor wasn't around 5 years ago when this Moncton...
Okay, well, let's forget about 5 years ago. What we're talking about is in the future, not in the past. Right now, the mayor is drumming up support to build a stadium. And if he can get the money to build a CFL-type stadium, they're a lock to get the team. They're a lock.
Yeah. Yep.
If they get the stadium. But they won't build the stadium unless they know they got the like you said, John, that little backroom conversation's got to take place where the mayor says, okay, will you guys come here if we build a stadium? And the CFL will say yay or nay. And that's where it'll end up. It'll end up probably ending up in Halifax because that community's got the money, at least is willing to put the money together to build a stadium. Without a stadium, it'll be the only city other than Toronto without a stadium that's worthwhile for CFL football. Don't we have enough problems with Toronto?
So Frank, just to take a little shot at all the liberal socialists out there. Why is it that all the business people want to invest in Moncton and not in Halifax? Does anybody know? Just by a show of hands.
I think I heard it was because the money was there.
They're tax friendly. They don't overtax the people who are actually investing in things.
Yes. Okay.
So that's my little pot shot at all the socialists out there. Thank you.
Indirect. Yep. Under the table pot shot, it's true. You're right about that. Look, those investors did a great favor by putting out the money to say we're going to fund and help bring a game to Moncton, which was the Argo Ticat thing, okay? And that worked out great. It was a big hype, and they saw the potential there. Now, as the other game followed up, it wasn't as much interest. This last pass game, I believe, didn't sell out until the very end. Okay, there was a lot of tickets available. I couldn't even tell you, honestly, if it actually did sell out. You know?
No, it did, and they were more than 1,000 short.
Okay, you see, so the interest there is dwindling. It should go to Halifax. It's considered as a bigger city. And, you know, even though Moncton has a bay or whatever you want to call it there, it just wouldn't seem right to call it the Schooners, which they're probably going to be. It would sound better. Yeah, I know. Well, most likely. Everybody's
sounds like a racial slur. The Schooners? What the heck?
No, Schooners.
Schooners.
It's schooners.
A boat.
It's a boat.
Oh, my God.
It's a boat.
Yeah, it's a boat. It's a famous boat.
Think about that. Like, how long would it take me to figure that? What are they, the Schooners? Like, what the hell?
Well, you know, you got to be in the Maritimes to love that name. right? That's all I can
like,
say.
When they're on the
good
road,
beer,
like everyone's just going to like chant the Spooners or something, like just to mess with them. I mean, that's, come on, man. That's worse.
The worse than the Red Blacks?
Hey!
Holy mackerel, poor Red Blacks.
Come on.
Well, Rob, hey, I'm having a hard time getting
John,
name
John,
off.
Okay, guys.
Yeah, you forgot to yell Red Blacks because it's all
capitalized. Here, let me quote something. Guys, let me quote something. The Conference Board of Canada has Moncton edging out Halifax for a Canadian Football League franchise in an assessment of potential future markets released on Tuesday. So, you know, the Conference Board of Canada is saying the financial wherewithal of a franchise moving was better served in Moncton than it would be, just as you just said right now, Mike, and as John said as well. So they feel
because
that the
Moncton was voted the most business friendly city in all of Canada.
There you go.
Because they have the lowest tax rates in the whole country.
Ching ching. There's your answer.
Yep, that's it.
Yep.
Now on the other hand, go ahead, Robbie.
John, are you going to cheer on the name or the players on a football team?
You know what? I cheer the players.
Okay.
You can call them whatever you want. It don't matter to me. At the end of the day, the guy in the field is the guy who I'm backing and
there
want him to know that I'm in his corner. You know,
there
it's
you
not
go.
The name. Not
so
the
if Chad Owens switched
you know
over
what,
to
though?
The podcast,
like,
you would still be rooting for Chad Owens?
See, the Red Blacks, they
that's
have
a good
the
question.
Same
hold
colors.
On.
The same are the Rough Riders had on their helmet. It's only got razor blades all around it, but you know what? Who cares about the name? Care about
no,
the
why
team.
Didn't they just name themselves the Razor Blades?
Hold
that
it a second.
Been
hold
than
it.
The Red Blacks.
Guys, in my opinion, I this is just me saying they won't refer to a city. It'll be the Maritime Schooners or the Maritime whatever. That's what it'll end up being. It'll be the Maritime.
Oh,
it'll be the Maritime.
That's like the gayest name in the history of sports.
The Maritime Hickers.
Mike, the Scooter the better.
Okay,
the Scooter the better.
Okay, but they could be. Hey, listen. They could be the Maritime Maulers. Is that better?
Again, you could make a gay reference there and say, "What are they mauling down?" But anyways, I don't want to go there.
Or you could make it a 16-year-old girl place going to the mall.
Yeah.
The Maritime Maulers.
Hey, listen, not to get off track, but Frank, before we went to commercial an hour ago, I asked you, let's come back with that question where do you guys think is the best game to put Ricky back in? Remember, with all these conditions, the fact that they're in no hurry, they're off on a better record on the road than they thought they were going to have.
The Grey Cup.
Okay, but really, you know, seriously, now that if you guys see the schedule, I mentioned it earlier. You know, we're now rushed for October 4th. Now there's that Thanksgiving game, outdoor game in Guelph, followed up by the Winnipeg game on the 19th. And I believe they're back in Toronto the following week after that. And I think it's Montreal, if I'm...
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I see exactly the perfect date. Yep, I got it.
You got it? What do you think?
It's week 16 at home against Winnipeg because those final two games of the year, they're both at home. And that's a good way for him to get a little bit of the rust off and
indoors.
Indoors and right before the bye. I think that's perfect. So he still gets three more weeks about 3 more weeks.
Yeah, October 14th.
October. That's the Thanksgiving game.
Yeah.
No, the
that's
week after. 12. They're talking about the week after.
Week 17.
2 weeks after. I think it's two weeks after. Yeah,
Here's the schedule.
Yeah, it's October 24th. Yep.
Yeah, 2 weeks after. They're the 19th in Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second.
Yes.
Toronto at Winnipeg.
No.
And then Winnipeg. Oh, okay, so the Winnipeg game, the back-to-back, the second game in Toronto.
Yeah. On the 24th.
Yeah. So week 18.
Do you agree, Rob? You think that's the game they should also, like Mike said?
You know what? I wouldn't really... I don't know, because Winnipeg's not really a good team, right?
Rob? The question, I think, is more to the point where what's the best conditions to bring him back? They're not in a hurry, and to bring, like Mike was pointing out, to bring him back at a home game, indoor conditions, rather than having him play in October, you know, muscles, because it's a tear that he had in his muscle, right? It's not a bone situation. So I think it's the best thing to do is bring him back in a warmer controlled atmosphere, climate controlled, where maybe those tendencies in the cold won't pop up, you know, those problems
okay,
that you
John,
might have.
John, don't you think the record's going to matter? Like, let's look at the schedule, like you said. They go into Edmonton. If they win in Edmonton, no pressure to have Ray come back, right?
Yep. Right.
If they win in Hamilton, no pressure to bring Ray back. But what if the opposite happens? What if they lose in Edmonton and then lose in Hamilton?
Well, yeah, lose in Edmonton and lose in Toronto.
Yeah, in Toronto,
October 4th.
Yeah, you're right. If they lose in Edmonton and lose in Toronto, don't you think that they'll bring him back?
Yeah.
I think the schedule matters, too. I think they're playing it by ear.
You got a good point there, Frank. I think you got a good point. If that's the case, and if Hamilton wins their next two, you know, that
which
could,
I hope they do.
Which you hope they do?
Yeah.
Well, that's
I'm
wrong.
A Ticats fan. I'm a Ticats fan.
Oh!
Yes.
Well, you know what? We're not going to use that against you, okay? Everybody has their own faults.
Oh, yes, we are.
Actually, my favorite team is the Ottawa Rough Riders, but they're no longer around, so I can't cheer for them.
Well, you
so,
also worked for the Ticats, so I understand your allegiance with that. So you're given a free green card on that one.
And I
get it.
A green card.
You got that, Mike?
Yeah.
From 91 to 94, I was the
thanks, Mike.
Equipment assistant for the Ottawa Rough Riders.
I don't think anyone else noticed that.
Sorry, Ralph.
Some of us
sorry.
Try not to.
Okay.
you shouldn't laugh too hard. You've got a green card,
sorry,
don't
Frank.
You, Mike? Mike, you got a green card. You're a Saskatchewan fan.
Green card.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Can't believe I got a green card.
you got a red-black card.
Red-black card, yeah.
Red-black card. So how are you going to – what have you guys thought of any chance to do the red-black chance? You know, what is there? Let's go black,
it's,
red.
Once you go red-black, you never go back. That's
yeah.
No chance.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Tony Gabriel
well,
already started that one.
That's a long
yeah.
chance.
Yeah.
Once you go red-black, you never go back. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a long song chance. I don't know if that's going
to
help.
You got probably all 12,000 people that – come to the
red
game.
Black attack. Red
yeah.
black attack.
Yeah, you know guys, I'm
red,
just trying to
black,
I'm trying to play it out like Frank
red,
did. Go
black,
red blacks go. Let's
yeah.
go red. Okay, you know you can do it. Let's go red blacks boom. Yeah, you can do
yeah.
that. You can do that.
Yeah,
sure. That'll pass, but you know, we'll see. We'll see.
And if they're losing,
we'll
you could yell red, black and blue. Red, black,
red,
and blue.
Black, and blue.
Red, black, and blue. Red, black, and blue.
Red, black, and blue.
So are the initials going to be ORB? Is that it?
No, I think it's just...
ORB?
RB.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, Ottawa Red Black, so I'm thinking, you know, ORB is what I'm seeing. ORB. Anyway, guys, we'll have enough time to break that team and make fun of it later when it starts up. Sorry, Rob.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Well,
Hamilton is they're two games back of Toronto, right?
Who's
right
that?
Now?
Hamilton?
Yeah.
No, they're 4 points behind them.
Yeah, so
two
it's,
games,
they're six
whatever.
And six and aim for. Okay, so if you look at the schedule after,
yeah.
okay, Hamilton plays. This is the remaining schedule. They're at home against Calgary. Then they have the back to back with the Argos. Then they get Montreal. Back-to-back, and then Winnipeg. So it's safe to say they're going to win their last three. So that's going to get them to 9 wins.
So
are they going to beat Calgary, or are they going to win any games against the Argos?
My picks for
oh,
this
absolutely.
Week's
they'll
games,
beat the Argos.
Let's hear Rob's pick.
Really?
Go ahead, Rob.
Okay, my picks are BC, Hamilton.
Yes.
They what? That has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
I know.
He's talking about the schedule.
Oh,
BC,
John,
Hamilton,
John,
Toronto,
stop
Saskatchewan.
Effing with people.
That's
stop
my picks for this week.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, we're getting that down to that time, Frank, where we're going to give our picks anyway. So let's do it one more time, Rob. Give us your picks. I heard BC, Hamilton.
Okay. BC, Hamilton, Toronto, and Saskatchewan.
All right.
What do you like, Mike?
Yeah,
I like Mike's picks. I like Mike's
yeah,
picks
I'm
all the
I'm
time.
On the same, yeah, I like, yeah, I'm going the same way. I know Calgary's better than Hamilton, but I'm just my heart's rooting for Hamilton just so they can make the East.
Is the game in Calgary or Hamilton?
No, it's in Hamilton.
In Hamilton.
Well,
I'm going all four home teams are going to win.
What?
Oh, okay, then we know. So, okay, perfect, Frank. You stick with that plan.
Wait, hold on. So, Frank, you're telling me Edmonton's going to be Toronto, and then Montreal's going to be
Winnipeg, Hamilton, Edmonton, and Montreal are going to win.
Wow.
Yeah,
you might be right. You never know.
You never know.
I don't know if
BC's got DeMarco back out. There could be he's pretty good.
Okay, from now on, we're just not going to mention DeMarco's name for the rest of the podcast. Seriously. Every time I think about that guy, my blood boils.
DeMarco really hated him leaving, huh? Well, you know what really upsets Mike is that he throws underhand.
Yep.
He looks like Luka Kanji. I mean, come on, man. Seriously, how is he a quarterback?
No, that's not nice. Luka Kanji's a little taller.
It's not fair, Mike.
Luka Kanji.
Oh,
Kanji's a little taller.
Luka, I mean, seriously, Kanji, tell me you guys, so when you fast. Saw him, you didn't think he was a kicker. Like, he looks like a kicker, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, you know what? If DeMarco had a mustache, you'd think he was Super Mario.
Oh, boy. The show's turning ugly now.
Hey, I'm Italian. I can say that.
My picks are Mike's picks.
Mike, your picks. Well, Mike said basically the same, but go ahead.
Yeah. Yep. No, I said mine already, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with Rob and Mike's picks, too. I think we're our consensus is on that. I like that, too. We're all going against you, Frank, which is normal.
It's all right. I can handle the independence.
Good. You're going to be on the losing end.
Okay. Let me just make sure we covered everything. Okay. So Calgary's going to recover by both your standards. You all figure that Calgary's going to recover.
Yeah.
We all picked Hamilton.
No, I'm
to
going
beat
against
Calgary.
Oh, okay. You're all going against Calgary.
Yeah.
I'm
taking all the home teams: Winnipeg, Hamilton, Edmonton, and Montreal.
Wait,
that's
what?
Me.
What?
That was me.
No, I didn't hear that first time, Rob. I think
that was me.
I heard BC.
No, BC, Hamilton, Toronto, Saskatchewan. I don't know why I just said Montreal.
No worries.
That's
okay,
Frank doing that to you. He does that to
people.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the game tracker, that's why.
So is the problem with Saskatchewan the lack of one question? We're running out of time, but still, is Corey Sheets the reason why Saskatchewan's having difficulty? Real quick,
absolutely.
Guys, just 30 seconds each. Mike?
Could be.
Yeah, John? Because the defenses respect him too much.
Sheets, he can't run the way he was running at the beginning of the year. That's evident. He can't last. I mean, he's getting banged up. He's a great runner. He's got great speed. I think the couple of the issues came up with the front line. I know there was one big guy that was doing a lot of blocking for him. I can't remember the frigging guy's name now. But you can tell when the front line of Saskatchewan at the beginning of the season, come on, guys, you tell me they didn't look solid. I mean, these guys are all big. They were pushing the Argos right through when they were playing them. Sheets will make his comeback, and I believe that the Riders are not out of it. They're not out of it by far. Guys,
nope.
Don't hold
no,
up.
They're not out of it. Yeah, so
no.
Sheets
yeah.
does make a difference. Sheets does make a difference. Garrett was new. He needs more time, but, you know, hopefully for Saskatchewan fans like Mike that won't have to wait for Garrett to pick up the playbook, Sheets may be back. And Edmonton. Edmonton, I've been predicting that they're going to have a good second half. Do you guys disagree? Anybody disagree?
No, Frank, you're right on the money on that. Mike Riley is absolutely legit.
Okay, so... So Edmonton, could
he didn't, hold on. I got my opinion on Edmonton. Guys, here it goes. Riley, he's as tough as nails as his commercials and the TSN stuff that they did. But the guy, just like Sheets, cannot get banged up like he is every game. He has got to be the hardest hit quarterback in this past 2-3 weeks that I've been watching on the highlights, okay? He's getting slammed. He's just crazy stuff. So I'm
like
not
Rocky
expecting...
versus Apollo Creed.
No kidding, okay? I'm not expecting him to last the season. I'm just putting it out there.
Wow.
Well, let's just put it this way. The show's over. Guys, thanks for being on the program. John, Mike, Rob, really appreciate it. We're down to our last few seconds. We hope you've enjoyed the program. You've been listening to Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio. You can... join us Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10 to 12, and we hope you will. We talk CFL football. The Argos are our primary concern, but we never, never ignore the other teams like, you know, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, the Ottawa Red Blacks, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, because some of the guys that call are actually fans of those teams. So we hope you've enjoyed the program. Join us again on Wednesday when we'll be back again for Candid Frank Live for this week. My name's Frank Stanishi. Thank you for tuning in. Hope to see you on the other side.
Seal 2. Chad Owens, favorite player ever. He's from Hawaii, playing in the Great White North.
He's not just good, he's real good.
He's into MMA, from the gridiron to the octagon. He's got game. This is his game.
He's the total package.
He's got the hard one.
He's got a great cup. He's a family man,
team player, dedication to the match.
True blue through and through.
I love watching this guy.
He's a highlight waiting to happen.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards, TSN 1050, every morning.